Welcome to the Jesus Week Movement radio broadcast, where we are taking you behind the scenes of a John 17 movement with mission, unity, and gospel transformation. Now, this is a very special show because we're finally back after taking a break during what we call the Summer of Transformation. The journey began earlier this year with our leadership retreat, followed by our March and April Saturday workshops, where we focused on team building, zip code adoption, and team mobilization. But then came May, our prayer saturation month, where churches began covering their communities and neighborhoods in prayer. And that led straight into the official summer outreach kickoff with our Times Square concert celebration. From there, we launched 7 regional Jesus Week initiatives, 7 missionary journeys across 7 regions, but with 1 vision and 1 mission. And now in this show, we begin to recap what God did over the summer. So in this final series of Summer of Transformation episodes, we're going to take you on the road with us, 1 region at a time, and give you a front row seat. In fact, we're going to try to put you on the ground to experience for yourself what God did throughout the Northeast. Hi, everyone. I'm Mick Richards.
And I'm Pastor David Bidell, and I'm excited to have precious friends here with me in the studio today, and just to talk about the dream that we see coming to fruition in our city. As we come together as one and we see the glory of God fill our streets, it's extraordinary. And for all of you listening, you'll be excited to know that the focus of today's broadcast is Manhattan. Literally the most iconic place in the world. I don't think there's any other geographic location in the world that has more pictures and movies than Manhattan. So we're excited to have our wonderful guests here today and to hear about what the good Lord has done throughout this entire borough.
Now, when we launched the Summer of Transformation early in June, Manhattan led the way. And this was the first of 7 regions to activate. From there, we went to the Bronx in July, followed by Philadelphia, then New Jersey, Queens, Staten Island, and we finished strong with a finale in Brooklyn. Now, joining us in the studio today to help take us on that journey into Manhattan, please welcome Pastor Darnell Harper, the regional leader for Jesus Week Manhattan, and a core team leader, Barbara Singleton, famously known as BJ. And these two were on the ground to help lead Jesus Week Manhattan every day. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. We are glad to be here with you to take you on this journey.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited about the journey that we've had, and I am especially excited to be here this afternoon.
Okay, Pastor Darnell, let's start with you. Now, some people actually believe that whatever happens in Manhattan, the rest of the world will follow. Do you believe that?
Well, I must say first, I believe right along with them. Whatever happens in Manhattan seems to stretch out across the other states, and I believe that people are actually watching Manhattan to find out what's next. And so I am so pleased that Manhattan was the first week of the kickoff and the journey into Jesus Week movement. Our theme this year was SOS. And we know that that is the universal distress signal used to request help in emergencies. And we realized that our city, there is an emergency. And I'm not talking about food. I'm not talking about, you know, money. But I'm talking about people not knowing and being in the right relationship with Jesus Christ. So we are here and was here to be the life preservers. We were here to throw out the buoys to help people get saved and receive eternal life.
And, you know, I've always seen both of you just really represent well the heart of Christ in your communities and pouring out love in sometimes in places where nobody wants to go. I've seen you ministering in the subways when everyone was terrified for a while to go down in the subways. There you were giving an SOS, sharing the hope of Jesus, giving everyone a lifeline from the broken and the homeless to the addicted to the corporate executive going to work who doesn't even know why what his reason is to live. There you are sharing the hope and the love of Jesus Christ. So I'm excited to hear you roll out. What did your regional journey look like? What did the 9-day Jesus Week journey look like from Saturday to Sunday? And what happened during that week?
I just have to go backwards a second because we realize that unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. And so a lot of what we did and a lot of the success that we were able to witness came from the preparation. And what we did was we had weekly prayers going on. We had all-night prayer that took place. We had planning meetings every Tuesday where we would come on, we would collaborate, we would share ideas, and then we would, you know, think about how do we market this? You know, how do we create this buzz around what we're doing? And how do we really utilize each other's gifts in order to make something comprehensive? And so, you know, we had a WhatsApp Jesus Week movement group. We would put prayers in there, you know, just words of encouragement. So a lot of what we did was in laying the foundation really helped the house to be built and for us to move through this journey of Jesus Week Manhattan.
So it wasn't about an event. It was about a holy relationship.
Yes.
In the body of Christ. Amen. That's beautiful. Thank you, brother.
Now, BJ, you and I have a special kindred spirit, I would say, and that is you have a very special role in the Jesus Week Manhattan team. You love to film and record everything with your phone. In fact, so much so that I got a taste of my own medicine throughout the week because every time I turned around, your phone and your camera was in my face filming me, filming other people, and it was driving me absolutely crazy. So I can't imagine what everyone else feels like when I do the same thing to them. But knowing that you have that special heart to be able to really capture what God is doing all throughout the outreaches, take us on a journey through your eyes. What did you see happening throughout that week as you went from outreach to outreach to outreach?
That's a good question, Mick. And yes, we do have a kindred spirit, and it's a wonderful thing. During the week, it was a blessing, first of all, and just to be able to go from borough to borough was really great as well. I will say the challenge was this year during the outreach in June was heat. It was so very hot. But God even allowed us during the heat to push through, and we got there. Now, the captivation of it all, taking it in stride, with the eyes of me seeing different souls, because that's what we're trying to reach the unloved, reach the ones that are hopeless. And me even capturing them on film sometime, trying to do it on the sneak, but sometimes you just don't do it. And so then you walk up and say, hey, is there something you need? It's just the light that shines from God above, and we're being the lamp to shine that light and get it out to the souls. And that's the amazing thing, just to become familiar with what God has equipped us with and to definitely use it in a way that will manifest that person and give them light. And that's what I was trying to do. That's what I saw, that God used me in different capacity in shining my light, whether it's saying hello or saying, hello, beautiful, have an amazing day, hope thou in God, I'm here for you, can I pray for you? Whatever that person might be going through, just meeting the need and just going through and following through with that.
Pastor Darnell, now just give us a snapshot overview of what that week looked like. What kind of outreaches happened, and what was the momentum like building up throughout the week?
So we started off, and we actually targeted one of NYCHA developments, which was Grant Houses. And what was so beautiful about that was it wasn't just one church, but it was a collaboration of churches in Manhattan that came together, and we were pushing in the same direction and we all knew what the purpose was, and there was a unity among brethren, irregardless of denomination or ethnicity. There was just this oneness of purpose, this oneness of direction. And so we gave a community outreach, and the strategy is always to meet the felt needs of the community and bring those resources in that they need or they lack. And of course, after we're able to draw them in, then we give them a kingdom experience. And so we had testimonies, we had praise and worship, and we had the preach word. And it was just a great move of God. And one of the things that stood out that day was we were actually closing up. And right before our close, I decided to, you know, give a sermonette, 5-minute sermonette. And there were about 7 people that actually came and, you know, prayed the prayer of salvation. And I just so happened to say, if you're in your house, if you're in your living room, if you're in your kitchen and you want to receive Jesus, you know, he can save you right out of your house. So I so happened to look up and I see this hand that is waving like out of the 6th floor. And I said, do you want to receive Jesus? And they put their hands together in the sign of a praying hands. And we literally led a person to Christ from their house, their apartment. And so, you know, to me, that just gives me the strength to keep moving, because it said a sower went forth and sowed. And so as children and ambassadors, we just have to keep sowing the seed, because we don't know who's hearing the gospel and what their response would be.
Amen. And you know, it always comes down to that one-on-one touch of Jesus and his beloved children, right? And BJ, do you have any times when you remember like a specific person that God just connected you with in as you were out in the streets all for so much of the summer? What was something that you want to share with us that happened?
Well, there's this one person who is now from the church, from Canada, that came to New York, her first time on the plane alone. She came last year, and she wanted to come this year. So I reached out to her, and she said, but I'm so afraid. Would you come and get me? Because I never flew alone. And I said to her, no, I'm going to pray that God will give you the strength. So God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So I want you to have that sound mind and get on the plane. So we prayed. And 2 days later, she called me and said, I'm coming. I'm going to be there. And she was there. The beauty of it all is that, and she was dating this guy. And the one thing she said after she heard the word and she realized that guy wasn't for her. Mm. However, they're still connected by being friends. And the 3 of us are friends this day. Wow. So I just thank God for that kind of love, that kind of relationship, that kind of bonding.
Hey, Pastor Darnell, do you have something that you say that this was an unforgettable moment for me?
Amen.
That
we there was Manhattan Grace Church. They had a VBS. That Sunday, at the end of the VBS, there was a parent there of a child named Leo. He was about 10 years old. And so they asked her to come up, and she gave a testimony. She said, yeah. She said, I'm the mother of 6 children, and 2 of my children, the 2 youngest, are on the spectrum. And Leo was one of them. And she said, for the last 2 years, I literally had to fight every day to get Leo to go to school. And she said, so I had 6 children in the park the day that the VBS was starting. And she said, you know what? I'm just going to take them over there and see what happens. And she said that her son, who does not like school, every morning he was waking up saying, I want to go to the VBS. I want to go to the VBS. Mm-hmm. She said the last day he had an ear infection. And she said, listen, you have the opportunity to stay home if you don't want to go. He said, no, Ma, I want to go to the VBS. Wow. And so this child was able to be received and feel comfortable by those who worked in the VBS and wanted to continue coming. And then as a result, now the mother is going to that church with a family.
Praise God.
Which was so awesome. So awesome. I literally cried hearing that testimony.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Now, Pastor Darnell, we just completed our 9th year with the Jesus Week movement, and you have been involved since the very beginning. However, you have only officially stepped up as the regional director for Manhattan. Now this is your 3rd year. So you have been working hard to build a specific team in Manhattan with leaders and volunteers. And I asked you this at one of the outreaches, and I want to ask you again, which leads into the second part of my question, which will be a follow-up. I asked you 3 years into this now, what is the one thing or the biggest thing that you feel like has come out of trying to organize churches and volunteers to build these teams working together? What is the biggest benefit that you've seen come out of this in your 3-year effort?
I probably would say koinonia. And koinonia is that fellowship, that relationship. You know, I always say that Jesus Week movement is not only an outreach, but it's an inreach. And so while we are adding people to the body of Christ and the body and the bride is growing, the bride is also in reach where the bride is becoming stronger and unified, right? And so it becomes this double-edged sword. And, you know, we are now operating not just on the surface, but we're going deeper. We're finding connection. We're finding this John 17 movement that's taking place. And, you know, the stronger we are, the more unified we are, the stronger we are, right? Because it says that the body is strengthened by what every joint supplies. So as we are supplying each other, the body then becomes stronger.
And the follow-up question then to that is, now that you've reached this milestone, what's next? Where do you go from here with the team and the relationships that you have built?
Well, I think that the model is already established, right? There are legs to the Jesus Week movement. You know, Jesus Week, the week that we are out there, is only the beginning. You know, now we start to drill down into the different legs and the branches and doing literacy programs and mentorship programs and door-to-door and really saturating our community so that there are no sheep without a shepherd and that every person in our community knows a pastor, a church that they can go to when they have a need. And so I believe that this model is perfect. I believe that it can be initiated anywhere and everywhere. And so it's already established. So that's where we're going.
You know, Darnell, something that we've started to taste as we've been working together on the North Shore of Staten Island is the elimination of hopelessness. Mm-hmm. We're seeing that hopelessness is getting lowered and lowered and lowered to a point where almost everybody on the North Shore, a city of about 150,000, they know that there's somewhere they can go for care, that people care, that there's hope, that they're not alone in this. I feel like you're experiencing that as well, especially in the regions where you have many churches working together. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, the scripture says, when the righteous rules, the city rejoices. You know that one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And so as we are able to change one life at a time, one family at a time, one man at a time, one woman at a time, then that joy is spread, right? And although we look at this world and we tend to see more evil than good, we are moving. The kingdom is spreading, right? The kingdom is moving, and we just have to continue and keep our hands on the plow and not turn back.
Okay, so we're almost out of time here, but we want to do this. We want to hear from your heart, and we'll give you the last word. BJ, let me ask you first. To our listening audience, is there something that's on your heart that you really want people to know about what happened this summer during Jesus Week Manhattan that is dear to you?
Yes, what happened this summer, we talked about, not just talk, Pastor mentioned the togetherness for the community. We as a church and different churches, we came together just not just this summer, but last week. We stayed together and we break bread together. We had a picnic. It was like five churches that got together and we just talked about what we spread, the gospel, the good news, and how our hearts rejoice. There was this one young lady there, and it was her birthday, and she was a Jehovah's Witness. And she did not realize the church was right behind, the Valley Church was right behind where she lived. And she told us it was her birthday, and she had no one to celebrate with her. Now, during that time, the girls, the young ladies, we all, the group, got together during the picnic time, during the outing that we had right in the courtyard, went upstairs because they had cupcakes and dessert, came down with the cupcake and dessert with the candle. We sung happy birthday to her, and it just burned her heart. She was like crying, and it was just so beautiful. It was an amazing day for her. And she did agree that she will be attending the Valley Church, which Sunday passed. So I am so happy for the communication and the community and the collaboration of this outreach, because we don't just have friends, we have family. Yeah. We have a family. Amen. And this family is forever. Hello. And I can call my family up and say, hey, I need you to be somewhere. When you ask for support, you can depend on this family. And this is a family that loves the Lord. We have one body, one source. We're just all together in unity, harmony, and we're ready to work. We're ready to spread our wings to wherever God wants us.
Hallelujah.
I would say that I believe that this is the time for the body of Christ to be the body of Christ and to do what our head, Jesus Christ, would be doing now. Say what he would be saying now. Go where he would be going now and acting the way he would be acting now. And, you know, the scripture tells us that two are better than one because they have a greater reward. If one falls, the other one can pick them up. And so the body of Christ really needs to come together in the spirit and the unity of love. And I look at Ezekiel chapter 37. The bones were scattered. They were dry. They had been there a long time. But it took the word of the Lord to be spoken, to be received, and the body literally came together. And what was a valley of dry bones ended up being an exceeding great army. And then the wind of the Holy Spirit came into them. And I believe that that's what God wants to do today so that we can take this world for Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
So beautifully said. Thank you, Pastor Darnell. Thank you, BJ. Thank you both for being here today and helping take us on this journey of what this experience was like in Manhattan. And to every person listening who served in Jesus Week Manhattan, whether you were walking the blocks of Harlem or praying on a sidewalk or even helping set up a sound system in the extreme heat, as BJ said, we sincerely want to say thank you for everything that you have done and everything you continue to do, because you're turning ordinary moments into sacred space. You made sidewalks into sanctuaries. And Jesus Week in Manhattan reminds us that revival does not need perfect settings. It shows up in public spaces. It rises up in the noise. It breaks through the middle of the crowd. And it all came because you brought it in a unified church and prayer coalition movement. Thank you so much for everything you have done this summer.
We just have loved serving with you all these years, and we're excited about what the Lord has in store. And for all of you here listening, please just connect with us at JesusWeekMovement.org. We'd love for this family to grow and grow until it encompasses the whole earth. God bless you. In Jesus' name, we bless you.